Zayn Malik left One Direction in 2015.
How did you just pronounce his name? Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love that so far this book is like giving kind of just listen / dreamland vibes. And yes, we love those books. So we love that. I feel like this book is going to be heavy.
I didn't know what this book was about. Yeah. So
it's going to be heavy. Hello, everyone. It is I, Bethany. With me, as always, is Michael Ann and her reputation error all day, every day. Baby, what is my lighting?
You know it.
You know what, baby?
Hi.
Hi. How be life? We had a couple weeks there where we only gave the people one episode. Mm-hmm. How's life be life then? And you get a double dose of us this week, everyone. So, you know, get hype.
get excited.
My mom is probably real hype. So thank you, mom, for the support.
Shout out
to you, official Hate Spinnerbait mom TM. But yes, we are here. We get to do one of my favorite things on this podcast, which is time travel. Although we were just saying that the time travel is like kind of catching up to us. So it's a little bizarre. But we'll be time traveling today and we will be reading the first two chapters of Saint Anything, which, can I just say, this book is just a great feel. The texture of this like little cover. 10 out of 10 on that. So thank you, whoever made that choice. I like picked it up from my bookshelf and I was like, oh, I forgot it felt like this. Yeah. This is so nice. Nice. So that's very satisfying to me. So thank you to whoever did the what do they call it? The dust cover? Is that what it is called? I think
the paperback is also.
It's also got that nice feeling. Oh, yeah. That's so satisfying. So yeah, whoever both in paperback and hardcover did that, we appreciate you. Thank you so much. Shout out to you. True story, y'all. We were like, okay, so we usually just see the first chapter when we do time travel because it takes us a while to get through time travel usually. But I realized it was 4 pages and I was like, I really think we can do 2 chapters here. So we're like, we're gonna do it. We're committing. We're gonna do 2 chapters, baby. I also love that we read The Moon and More through basically the summer, which is such a summer vibe of a story. It takes place in Colby. And this book, again, we haven't gotten super far into it, but it seems like we're about to enter the school year. And I was like, listen, y'all, we timed it. We timed it right. And now we're getting a nice school year fall book as we enter fall. So it was planned, everyone. We're that good at what we do, obviously.
Obviously.
True professionals. That's what we are. Mm-hmm. So, yes, that is what we will be doing. Also, I told my clan before we started, but I just need, y'all are going to see me drinking a farmer. I just need the viewers to know. I'm so sorry. I've been drinking a Coke today. Shh, please don't tell Dr. Pepper.
Don't tell Pepper.
Obviously, I love them forever. I was struggling today at lunch. I really needed to get some caffeine and I went to a Fresh Market, which is kind of bougie. I love it though. And I got myself a little pasta salad for lunch and I was like, I need caffeine. And because they're like a bougie store, they don't have a lot of like caffeine drink, like sodas. And I was like, okay, Coke, I guess, because it was the only like a normal one they had. I was like, I'm not trying to get fancy here. I don't know what your weird potions are, that you, these elixirs that you're trying to drink. I was like, I just want something with sugar and caffeine in it to help me get through the rest of my day. Thank you so much. I want the bad stuff. I want the bad stuff for my body to be consumed to help me get through this day. So I picked up a Coke and I didn't finish it at lunch. So now I'm just finishing it here tonight to get through this podcast.
I'm just playing with my light because I like can't, I don't know what I'm doing.
I know my lighting is being weird too. I don't know what's happening.
I'm just gonna be orange. I'm orange today. I'm tinted pink.
Tinted pink. Oh,
we're starting with 2015.
Oh yes. Yes.
Fire up the time machine.
I feel like it's been so long since we've got to do that.
I know. So exciting. Okay. Look around, y'all. It's 2015. I'm in my early 20s. I'm making bad decisions.
We've all been there. So true. Mm-hmm. So true. Yes. Well, yeah. choices were being made. Good, some good, mostly bad.
Mostly bad.
Also, Michael Ann's gotten really good at graphics lately and fun editing things. And I'm now just picturing you having like the two of us, like little heads bopping in a DeLorean, like,
oh my gosh.
You don't have to make that, but if you could, that would be great.
I can and I will.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm excited now to see this graphic. Okay, sorry. Carry on. We're looking around. It's 2015. We're both in an interesting time in our lives.
Yes. Okay, so we're going to just hit on some viral pop culture moments. Yeah. And I have a lot to say about this one, but the first one we're starting with is this was the year that everybody was fighting over that dress. Is it gold and white? Is it blue and black?
Oh my God, yes. What did you see?
Blue.
I saw gold and white. That's so interesting.
That's crazy.
That is so crazy. And I like tried, I looked at it many times. I was like, maybe it was just the first time.
I was like moving the thing.
And yeah. It was a whole, that was really, it somehow both divided a nation and brought a nation together.
It really did. And I found out something alarming recently, and it's not how I expected the story to go. But the man who posted that dress, who started the viral trend, strangled his wife and is in jail. So
holy crap. That's crazy.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's...
She's alive.
Twist. And okay. So she is okay. That's a plus. He definitely still deserves jail time for that, though, obviously.
Yes, obviously.
But how wild. Like, it was all fun and games. It was... What color do you see this dress as? And the story ends with that. Well, that's like a Shyamalan twist right there. That's insane.
It's alarming, to say the least.
Yeah. Why his wife is okay.
So let us know in the comments, what color did you see?
Isn't it appropriate now to ask that?
Oh, we should move on.
Yep. Okay.
Something else that went viral that was very memed was the pizza rat.
Oh my God, Pizza Rat. Pizza Rat is like, it's not as much of a thing anymore, but that meme was the meme that lived. Like, it was trekking along there for a while. It kept coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Iconic. Oh, Pizza Rat. Yes.
Pizza Rat.
I'm so happy that we are now in the point of time travel where we get to bring up internet memes, because that wasn't really like as much of a thing before, obviously. And now I'm like, oh yeah, the internet.
It's meme time, baby.
It's meme time, baby.
Zayn Malik left One Direction in 2015.
How did you just pronounce his name? how judgmental I sounded to you about that. I was like, excuse me.
I wasn't a One Direction person. These are my forgotten years.
As a directioner, I don't think I was in deep enough to call myself a directioner. I don't know. Maybe I was. I don't know. I dabbled.
I'm literally crying.
This is fantastic. Actually, the rest of the episode is just us laughing over this. Oh, good. Our boy Zayn Malik. Yeah.
Zayn. Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
Michael Ann just outed herself as clearly not a directioner.
No.
The other day at work, we were talking about 5 Seconds of Summer, which I forgot existed until this conversation that we were having at work. And someone was like, oh, yeah, Five Sauce. And people were like, what? And we're like, you didn't call them Five Sauce? You weren't in the know. I act as if I know maybe 3 of their songs, but I knew that they were called Five Sauce because like everyone like was calling them that, but I didn't actually really. I knew their like Skinny Jeans song, the American Barrel one, and and maybe like another one of which I could not name by name, but yes, Zayn Malik, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he left One Direction. That was a time. Listen, as a girl who was hardcore on Tumblr.com. During that era, let me tell you, the girly pops were distraught, devastated. And except for like Zane Girls, because Zane Girls were like, he's better than them and he's about to go live his best solo career life. And they weren't entirely wrong. He didn't break out probably as much as I think some people thought he would, but he's had a nice little career for himself. So
he's not Harry Styles, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's not Harry Styles. But we all knew, like, we all were like, he's going to be the one that is like the big breakout star.
I love Harry Styles. You
know what? Same, to be honest.
So good. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Thank you for that.
Another crazy thing that happened. Ariana Grande licked the donut display case.
Yes. Oh, that was a moment in time.
It really
People
was.
Were like, so the discourse. The discourse. So much discourse.
For like years.
Yeah. But also, what a weird, bizarre thing to do. And yes. Like, it is one of those things where it's just like the voices, you know, they got to her, like that impulse. She was like, I'm going to do it. And it's like, no, girl, you're too famous to let that happen. Like, people are going to know they're recording you always.
You can't let the impulses win.
Yeah, no, you can't. You can't when you got that many eyes on you. I was like, oh, girl.
I want to know how old she was in 2015.
That's a great question. How old would she have been in her?
She would have been about 22 years old.
Yeah, man, the impulses are getting you at 22.
The impulses are getting you at 22. I mean,
you're not thinking, you're just doing. And then when you're famous, people know. And mm-hmm. It's wild.
Her brain wasn't ready yet. It wasn't fully cooked.
Mm-mm. That's crazy.
This was also when she was in her brunette tan skin era.
Oh, yes. That time. The ethnicities that Ariana Grande has tried to look like.
Yes, this was one of her ethnicities. She's gone very far from this.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that happened, Ariana Grande. And I will say, though, I don't know if I like Ariana Grande as a person. I don't really know her. I'm not going to pass judgments. You know, do you, right. girl. But I am kind of judge her because of, like, the, you know, racial...
Yeah, like that's a little costuming. It's a little sus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't love that bit for sure.
Don't love that. But her music slaps.
Yeah, I will say. And apparently she won't go out in like 2 cents worth of rain. So and I was like, shit. She was doing recording the Disney. One of the parades, the Christmas special or whatever. I guess, yeah, it had to have been the Christmas special because they don't really do the Easter thing anymore. But it was like, we have a term called Ariana Grande rain, which is when it is like barely spitting out because it was barely spitting out and she refused to go out to do her performance. And they were like, okay. I'm like, listen, I'm all about safety and whatever, but it was like spitting rain. So anytime it's spitting rain, I'm like, oh, Ariana Grande raining. So I hope she knows that we have a whole term for that.
I love that. And I'm going to use it.
Yeah, please do. Anytime in a spinning rain, everyone, please feel free to call it Ariana Grande rain.
Okay. Some other disturbing news from 2015. This is unfortunately the year that Amy Schumer's career took off.
Oh yeah. That's yikes. Oh
yeah.
Listen, if I could take a DeLorean back to 2015, I would change that. I would be like, let's not have this woman become famous. Thank you.
She doesn't need a platform. She doesn't Mm-mm. need one.
She sure doesn't.
She shouldn't have one.
Yikes.
Yikes. Something else very yikes about this year was it was the year that Caitlyn Jenner came out as trans and started her legacy as the most anti-trans person alive.
Seriously. Baffled to this day by that. I don't know as a trans person, you can be so anti-trans and yet she exists.
Here we are.
I'm like, that's a bold choice of you, but all right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and then she like committed vehicular manslaughter. Speaking of saying anything.
This time travel has been such an upper, much like the start of this novel.
Yes. Okay. Two more two more pop culture things, and then we'll look at like movies and stuff. 1989 World Tour kicked off.
Iconic.
Did you go to that one?
I did, in Greensboro, North Carolina. It was quality.
Jealous as fuck.
Yeah, that was pretty great. I'm not gonna lie. That was the first concert. Wait, correct me if I'm wrong. Someone will. That was the first concert, I'm pretty sure, because I don't think she did this for Red Tour, that the like little bloop, bloop, light bracelets were started. Oh. And it was like such like, and I still think it's like the coolest thing to do at a concert, and that happens. But considering at that time, like, that was the craziest thing to me. I was like, I'm gonna get this bracelet and it's gonna like go with the music and it's gonna be like part of the show. And that's phenomenal. And I think then they were given to us at our seats. Like, it was just like taped to your seat. So how things have changed. Now they like hand it to you when you enter. Yes. I might be wrong. And again, that tour, she only had domestically two shows that weren't in stadiums. And I was at one of them. And our surprise, because that tour is also when you got the surprise guest. It came out every time. And so we're like, oh my God, who are we going to get? And we got Miranda Lambert, I think. Is that right? Yes. I think, yes. And they came out and sang the Little Red Wagon song. And I was like, huh, I was hoping for better. But you know what? Okay, I'll take what I can get. Because she tried to sync it up with, like, did they have a connection to the area? Like, stuff like that. It was cool. Like, I remember, like, that was the thing. Like, now it's, like, what you're going to be your surprise song. And that was, like, what surprise guest you're going to get. And also kind of, like, surprise song. Because they would do usually a song of theirs. Like, I remember famously in L.A., Lisa Kudrow came out and they did Smelly Cat. That was a moment.
I love it.
I was like, this is hysterical. But yes, I'm pretty sure we got Miranda Lambert. But yeah, it was a great show. Another show I went to on very little sleep because I also traveled and arrived that day. That's how I Taylor.
We love doing that.
We love doing that.
It's our favorite
thing.
And then last but not least, pop culture wise or pop culture news, whatever, Hamilton.
Came out in 2015 and it had all of us
by a chokehold.
Such a chokehold. Cannot stress the chokehold that it had on all of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Yep. I was working at Magic Kingdom at this time, actually, now that I have very few memories from these years.
But Hamilton's what stuck with you.
Hamilton stuck with me. I have this like vivid memory of me illegally listening to the Hamilton's soundtrack while I was making at the castle. We had to like take like lunch trays, you know, and make and put everything you need to set a table on them.
Right.
So that you could just, they could, the servers or the hosts more likely just came and took it and brought it to the table and like set it up and
real quick. Yeah.
So I was making those in the back and I was illegally listening to Hamilton and I was like, wow, this is genius.
You're like, I will get all the lyrics to Guns and Chips down one day.
Yes.
I want y'all to know it's been almost a decade and I still don't think I can sing all the lyrics to that song.
I can definitely sing all the lyrics to Burn though, because slapped.
Best song. Fight me. That song is like, if Taylor Swift wrote a musical, that is the vibe of that song. Like, sometimes if I'm really in my feelings, y'all, I will listen to All Too Well, Burn, and then put on All Too Well again. That's
me, my girl. Have you heard the After the Burn or something? It's like a remix with different lyrics from Eliza. Who was the sister? Angelica.
Angelica. Eliza and Peggy.
Peggy has like no role whatsoever.
No, poor Peggy.
Poor Peggy. Justice for Peggy.
Justice. Someone can make me the Peggy musical, truly. Have I heard it? I don't think I've heard this. Now I'm going to. Now, if I really want to get my feelings, I will listen to All Too Well, Burn, and then After the Burn.
First Burn. It's first burn. It's called First Burn.
First Burn.
Oh, it's so good. I'm just going to send it straight to you.
Please do, actually.
You need to listen to this, like, the second we stop recording. Okay.
I also want everyone to know that one more thing on Hamilton. Broadway, I took this class in Orlando. It's fantastic. If you live in Orlando or in the Orlando area, please go visit Studio K. It's wonderful. And there's a class. I hope it's still going on. I'm sure it is because it was very popular when I was there. Oh, you just sent it to me. Thanks. Called Broadway Burn. And I loved it. Every Thursday night, you would go do Zumba, but to show tunes. It was fantastic.
That's amazing.
And we did like a couple Hamilton songs. Obviously, we did like a bunch of different Broadway songs. But we did on International Dance Day one year. She, like, everyone kind of got like a block, so, like, all the different dance instructors of the different classes got like a block on that day, and we went in like on a Saturday afternoon, and it was like an all day thing, and you could pick and choose what you wanted to do. And one of them was that teacher, her name was Liz, doing the choreo to My Shot from Hamilton. And when I say, y'all, I have never felt both whiter but also cool at the same time. I was like, I might be too white for this, but I had never felt cooler than doing that. I was like, this is my time. So yes, that was, could I remember it now? No, probably not, but it was phenomenal. And I just had to share that aside with everyone.
I love it. Thank you. Hamilton was obviously very impactful in our lives.
Yeah, clearly.
okay. All right, so now getting to music, etc. The number one song in 2015 was Hotline Bling by Drake. No surprise there.
Yep.
Now.
Yeah. Drake,
who's
really
he hotline blinging is my question.
Yeah, he had a chokehold there on society for a while. For a few years, he was like the number one song.
Certified lover boy, certified pedophile.
Yeah. Not a big Drake fan here.
okay. Moving on.
Okay. Yeah. Next.
Adele's album 25 came out and topped the charts. So that was a big one.
Yes.
Adele.
Also,
she's
so many great memes from that. All the yes.
Hello from the awesome.
Iconic.
Yes.
My queen.
Some top movies. 50 Shades of Grey and Mad Max Fury Road. Oh, Mad Max. Did you see 50 Shades of Grey?
No. I actually, to this day, have never seen 50 Shades of Grey. And I think I'm like okay with that.
Yeah, I'm good. That's like something I can definitely skip. For sure. Yeah. I will like to say that when that book came out and everyone was talking about it and everyone was like, oh my God, 50 Shades of Grey. My grandmother, who was in her late 80s at the time, possibly already 90, read it with really big font. So shout out to Min for always keeping us on our toes.
Yes. She likes just little spicy moments. Yeah, I was... of the opinion. Well, I love that people were flabbergasted that like fan fiction was turned into a novel. And I'm like, first of all, y'all, I have read some fan fiction that deserves to be not like there's some great fan fiction out there. So I'm a firm believer in fan fiction. I'm a firm believer that it can be great works of art. 50 Shades of Grey is not that though, unfortunately. So yeah. And again, if you want to read some cool, steamy smut, rock on with your bad self. I just think that there's probably better stuff and more like consent. And yeah.
Yeah.
I could go down a whole thing about that. So we're going to move on from there. But you know what? You read your smutty novels, ladies. We respect you.
We respect you. Respect for all women under certain circumstances.
Under certain circumstances. I think that's fair. I think it's fair. There should always be an asterisk, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Also, this was the year that Disney's first Star Wars film came out, Star Wars The Force Awakens, and it made everybody mad.
So mad, except for me, because I was there in the movie theater on opening night at like a 3 a.m. showing, bawling my eyes out.
It was really good. I really liked it.
So happy. And no one can take that away from me. Like, I don't care. No. Y'all say whatever the hell you want to say about it. some people that even liked it at the time have suddenly turned on it. I don't know why. This is just the life cycle of a Star Wars movie, honestly. Yeah. I will stand by it. I think that The Force Awakens is phenomenal. I think it is definitely in my top five Star Wars films of all time. And I think maybe my all-time favorite, like, movie-going experience of my life, like, truly. Wow. So there you go.
Amazing.
It just, like, no one can take that away from me. Like, and I know, obviously, I'm not the only girl who felt this way. But growing up a Star Wars fan, and then, like, the second that scene, y'all know what effing scene I'm talking about, where the lightsaber, and she uses the Force, and it goes to her, and she just ignites it. I wasn't, you know, a woman in that. I suddenly was an 8-year-old girl again who saw Star Wars the first time and was like, "It's I get to be the star this time." And
yeah,
no one can take that from me.
Yeah, Leia getting a lightsaber and like wielding the Force was huge, and then all the like fanboys were like, "This isn't realistic," and it's like, actually, Yoda said that their entire family had the Force in them, so she's his sister. So fuck off.
Yeah, just go fuck right off. I'm kidding.
Darth Vader's her dad too.
Yeah. Gosh. R.I.P. James Earl Jones. R.I.P.
Oh yeah. Rest in peace, buddy.
Legend. Absolute legend. Mm.
Nice long life.
Yes, I know. You can't. That's all we can all ask for.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yes. What a ledge. Iconic.
Some TV shows that came out this year that were very popular was Jessica Jones, which I watched the first season. I really liked. Didn't watch the rest of it though, so didn't like it that much.
Fell off of it as well, but that first season was very strong, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. And I love that actress.
Yes, I cannot think of her name right now, but
Kristen Ritter.
Oh, that sounds right.
Yeah, Kristen Ritter. That's right.
Ooh, look at you go. Bow, 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 bow. Nailed it.
So, yes, that happened. And then popular books that came out this year. Paula Hawkins, The Girl on the Train. Did you read it?
I did. Yes. My mother-in-law, this of course was before she was my mother-in-law, gave it to me. I didn't read it when it came out right away. Like, there had already been some hype around it. And she was like, "I have all these books just lying around." And I was like, "Oh, I've heard about this one." And so I picked that one up.
Yeah. Did you like it?
Library. I did. I did enjoy it. Yes.
Nice. Good. I did not read it. These are my last years.
she wasn't hitting the stacks then. No. I'd recommend. I feel like it was good. Maybe I'm not. It's been a while. Maybe I'm like, mine was not good, but I'm pretty sure it was good. I'm pretty sure I liked it.
It was like the top book of. I mean, that's not saying much because Colleen Hoover's so popular, and
Yeah, you know,
we all like what we like, but like, let's not pretend she's a good writer.
Yeah, exactly.
What was that? Oh, and then Go Set a Watchman, Harper Lee's first published work in 55 years in the sequel to To Kill a Mockingbird. I also didn't read that. I feel like a bad English major.
I feel good about my decision because I love to go. Oh my God. I saw a TikTok the other day. Actually, I have to send this to you. This is not, I'm sorry, everyone on the podcast for being like, oh my God, then random side. But I meant to send it to you the other day. My friend, I didn't. I'm going to send it to you tonight before I forget. Anywho's, you know, they're like, what your favorite high school book says about you. And my favorite book that I was like forced to read in school is To Kill a Mockingbird. Like, I would just read that book for my own enjoyment because I think it's a phenomenal book. I think the movie is phenomenal. And when I heard they had unearthed an unpublished thing, I was like, it was probably unpublished for a reason. And that book to me is so pure and so great. I do not want it tainted. And I was like, I ain't going down that rabbit hole. And so I waited until people read it and they were like, "Oh, no." And I was like, "Okay, yeah, I'm not gonna read it."
Good to know. Yeah, I was like, I don't know how this is gonna go. I think I'm just gonna skip it. Skip this one.
Skip that on out. Skip that one. Sometimes you get good things, you know, and that should have been come out, like the vault tracks on Taylor Swift albums. And sometimes you get unearthed novels from a very famous author who wrote a very famous book, and no, it should have just been, just leave it at that. Just leave it at To Kill a Mockingbird. We don't need a sequel.
We don't need a sequel. Yeah. So that's it. That's 2015. Doop a loop boop.
Here we are.
We're back.
Back in 2024. Did we skip the election? Did she win? No. Okay, we're still pre-election damage.
We're still pre-election great. We're still just like living in that terrible,
terrible time, unknowing time. The anxiety is real. But it's going to be fine, guys. Hopefully, maybe we'll see. A girl can dream. All right. Thanks.
Hope for
anything. Before we dive in, as Michaelyn kind of already stated, you knew absolutely nothing about this novel, correct?
Nothing. Not a single thing.
And just dove on in. Okay, this book, my dear friend Kristen, friend of the show, Kristen.
Shout out.
Picks it up for me. And at, I believe, a Flyleaf book signing event.
Oh.
Shout out. So it is actually, shout out. It is signed by our queen, Sarah. So there we go.
Oh.
So love that. So this is one of the copies that I had signed before I personally met her. You know, now that we're about to do and all. But yeah, so my dear friend picked this up for me. I was super stoked to read it. I started reading it. And you want to know what I did? I never finished reading it. Because again, that time in your life, 2015, y'all, it was a crazy time. Like I said, you're in your 20s, it was a thing. So yeah. I never finished it, and I kind of feel terrible because my dear friend went, got assigned for me and everything, and I never finished it. But I'm so excited because this is the first book since, well, even though I remembered absolutely nothing about The Moon and More, evidently, this is the first book since, what was the one that summer, I think, that I hadn't ever read? I, like, really haven't truly read this because, again, I picked it up, and I don't think I got very far. So, yeah, I literally, when I picked up the other day, read the little, like, inside the flap cover thing to be like, what is this book about? No idea.
I read the back, and I really was not prepared for these first two chapters.
Yeah. It's heavy. It's dark. It's
really heavy. It starts really dark.
Yes.
But I love the dedication.
Yes.
For all the invisible girls and for my readers for seeing me. Sarah.
I love that. Sarah. Sarah getting me right in my feels literally before page one even begins.
Before page one even begins. You are an icon.
Capacity.
You are everything.
Truly. Truly.
Chapter one begins with, "Would the defendant please rise?" Which really sucked me right in right away because I was like, wait. We're starting this book off in court?
Yes. I know. Interesting. I was like, what? Very not Sarah Dessen-y.
Yeah, very not Sarah Dessen-y.
I love also that this chapter, so as stated previously, chapter one is literally four pages. I love that she just starts you like in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And then we like go back and explain. I was like, this is so like, it was unexpected, but also like so good.
It was like a really fun like ride. She like paced it perfectly.
Yes. But yes. Carry on.
Would the defendant please rise? So our main character, I don't think we know her name on page one, but her name is Sydney. Her brother is the defendant. Her brother is the one being charged. They are in the courtroom. She's like all distracted. She's like, I can't listen, like whatever. And when I'm sure that's extremely overwhelming. And they declare the sentence. We don't hear the sentence.
Correct.
And neither does Sydney. So we actually don't know what he's in for. And then we learn that her brother was always known for his fearlessness. And then the court ends and she is just like a shell of herself. Like she is just like, what is going on here? And a man named Ames is like, Sydney, are you okay? And she's like, I couldn't answer. I just nodded. So her father wanted to go see the lawyers in Peyton, but she was like, I got to go to the bathroom. So Ames is like, I'll take her. And I'm like, do you need to?
Yeah. I was like, who the F are you?
Who, why does she need an escort to the bathroom? But her father nods and claps him on the shoulder and then they leave. Okay, so when I first started reading this and when, you know, everyone did, no one knows who Ames is,
right?
How old he is, what his deal is. But so I was thinking it was like her friend. that right. came like
he seems with like him. Very important there, because you're like, okay, her mom, her dad, and her are at her brother's. It seems very important, very dramatic court hearing, and this guy is here, and he's just referred to as Ames. And then yeah, when you start reading chapter two, it takes a minute until they like describe who he is, and I was like, when's Ames gonna get involved? Because clearly from chapter one he is important.
Yeah, he's creepy. He's putting his arm around her. He's like, I'll wait for you outside the ladies' room. And like the first hint we get that he is a big creep is she's in the bathroom. There's another girl there. She has blonde hair. And she's wearing a summer dress and cowboy boots and a denim jacket. Very interesting for the courthouse. Yeah. And when they walk out of the bathroom, they kind of bump into each other, and she's like, no, like, she's like, oh, sorry. And our main character is like, no, it's okay. And then she looks at Sydney and then at Ames, and she takes him in for a long moment before returning her attention back to Sydney and giving her a look that all women can interpret very quickly, the are you okay look. Basically, who is this man?
Right. Why is he creepily waiting for you outside the bathroom? Are you okay with that?
Right. She's like, it doesn't look like you're a sibling. So here we kind of find out that like our girl is unwell. She says, I'm used to being invisible. People rarely saw me. And if they did, they never looked close. I wasn't shiny and charming like my brother, stunning and graceful like my mother, or smart and dynamic like my friends. That's a thing, though. You always think you want to be noticed until you are. So she's like kind of uncomfortable. She's like, oh, my God, she noticed that I'm with this creepy guy. And she's like, no, I'm good. So the girl was watching her when she walked away with Ames, and she kept looking behind her to see her, if she could still see her. And there was a big crowd and what have you. But then finally she looked back and she was surprised to find that that girl was still standing there staring at her. And you know what? That's a real one right there, ladies and gentlemen. That is a real one. That is a woman looking out for a woman. Girl looking out for a girl. That I love that. I mean, yes. I don't love the circumstances, but right. That was,
I don't love that nice Ames is a creeper. I don't love that she's a couple things. I don't love that she's in court clearly because yes. Her brother is like really something bad has happened, which again, we're about to find out obviously in chapter two. I don't love that Ames is a creeper and this woman feels the need to check on this girl, but I do respect cowboy boots and jean jacket for being a real one and sister solidarity. We do respect
yes.
that.
Yes. Yes, we do. So that's chapter one. That was it.
Yeah. Short, sweet, to the point. Gets us, like I said, right into the middle of things. And then you're like, huh, what? I need to read on clearly because what the hell is happening? Mm-hmm. And that takes us to, I don't feel like I can even do our normal chapter two, baby, because it's just very intense right now.
No.
It doesn't seem appropriate. So we're just going to solemnly say chapter two.
Yes.
This is chapter two.
I know. I'm changing like our graphics on for our episodes because I'm like, yeah. I can't post this with like
happy,
right? Y2K, yeah. Like sparkles. I was right. Like, oh.
This is not a sparkle book.
Not a sparkle book.
Not that kind of novel. It's always, people always talk about the glitter pens, like,
yes,
with Taylor Swift. This is not a glitter pen book. This one's written with an inkwell pen, yes. A nice ballpoint pen.
Yes.
Kind of a situation. But yes, chapter two. She says, the first thing you saw when you walked into our house was a portrait of my brother. It hung directly across from the huge glass door, right above a wood credenza and the Chinese vase where my father stored his umbrellas. You'd be forgiven if you never noticed either of these things, though. Great freaking paragraph, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, what a great introduction to this family. Like, you get so much from this. A, Peyton is clearly someone who's, like, the star of the family. He, like, you want to know him. You want to look at him. Like, you would miss the other things in the room. But also interesting that she talks about the things that are great when you enter the door and not one of them is her. So
yes.
I was like, that's interesting. And also, this is where I was totally getting the way that they are with Peyton reminds me very much the way in Dreamland they are with her sister Cass, I think, right? Mm-hmm. Cassandra is her name. In which poor Caitlin, like, I feel like totally gets just, like, ignored because – whatever. And this chapter, I was like, oh, so Peyton's the star of the family, and our poor girl Sydney is just kind of like, and she's there. So we're going to get a little bit more of basically the family's backstory in this chapter. She says that her and Peyton share the same looks, dark hair, olive skin, brown, almost black eyes, but they just are completely different in every other aspect in the way they carry themselves. She talks about how he's like just gorgeous, kind of the type of person that like everyone wants to be around. He's 3 years older. He's the king of truth or dare. He always went for the latter, naturally. The fastest runner in the neighborhood and the only person I'd ever seen who could stand balanced on the handlebars of a rolling bicycle. So you're like, okay, this guy's a little bit of a daredevil. He's a little bit of like...
An enigma.
Yeah, he's a little bit of an enigma. Exactly. She talks about the different things that they did like growing up, just kind of give you a little history of her brother. It seems like, you know, they had like a pretty... like decent relationship, I would say. Again, like she just keeps talking about like how fearless he was, like the different things they used to do, like play hide and seek, practicing wrestling moves, all that kind of stuff. She says that as she gets a little bit older, you're like, I'm skipping something.
I will say on page 6, she says, but his greatest talent to me was disappearing. And I feel like that is huge as well.
Yes. I would definitely say that that is fair. She talks here a little bit about her parents and where they live. We get a lot of callbacks to fellow Dustin novels. Yes. We talk about Perkins Day. So they go to Perkins Day. They live in the Arbors. Again, this is yet another, we've discussed this before, but lots of Dustin families seem to be pretty well-to-do. They appear to me to be kind of upper middle class. Like they run a private school. They live in the fancier neighborhood that we know of in Lakeview. She says, actually, she talks about that. She's like, we make like the money that her family makes is like pretty average for their neighborhood, which means like they're doing pretty good. She talks about her dad and what he does. She says that he started his career in the military before going to law school. He made his money in corporate conflict resolution. He was the guy I called when the company had a problem. Threat of a lawsuit, serious issues between employees, questionable practices about to be brought to light, and he worked it out. So she's like, it was no wonder that I grew up like thinking he could take care of everything, because like he is the guy that people go to when things need to be taken care of. She says, if dad was the general, my mom was the chief operating officer. Unlike some parents who approach parenting as a tag team sport, the good ones, because it is. It should be a tag team sport, personally. That's my opinion. She says, our family duties were very clearly divided. My father handed the bills, house, and yard upkeep, and my mom dealt with everything else. So again, it seems like she's kind of one of those moms who's like very involved in the kid's life. And the dad is just there to be like, good job, champ, after, you know, the soccer game or gymnastics meet. And he like mows the yard. And I was like, oh, he's another one of those uninvolved Dustin dads. We had a good streak there for a while where we were getting like good Dustin dads. And I was like, dang it. So yeah, dad, I'm a little unimpressed with you so far, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, truthfully.
So they said that she says, the trouble with Peyton started in the winter of his 10th grade year. One afternoon, I was watching TV in the living room with a bowl of popcorn when the doorbell rang. When I looked outside, I saw a police car in the driveway. So she hollers to her mom and says that she's here. This is where we learn of her obsession with the big reality TV series, which I love that our girl is a reality TV girly, because obviously we are. And also, obviously, Sarah is. She, for many years, was a big Real Housewives fan. And this is definitely meant to be kind of that, a take on that. Because, of course, that's like there's all these different cities. There's big New York. There's big Miami. There's big wherever, which is what the Real Housewives is. So this is definitely a show that you would find on like the Bravo channel that there would be like a after show for. And she says, rich woman being petty and pretty. I'd heard it described, and it's like, yes, honestly, quality content.
Yeah.
So she talks about how she is gotten really into the show because essentially it sounds like she's just like lonely. Like the second her brother starts getting in trouble, like all of mom's attention and dad to a certain extent, even though it doesn't appear like he was giving the children much attention to begin with, goes to him. And she's kind of invisible in her house. Like she's just there, and she says like she's feeling really low, and the reality TV just kind of like drowns it out, and it gives her someone to hang out with. And she talks a lot in this chapter about like being excited when she hears the garage door open, because it means like she won't be alone. So yeah, so it just seems like it's kind of like a lot's going on with Peyton. She kind of goes over the next couple pages are about his different, well, she also says, so yeah, going about the kind of her sadness, she says, my own life felt flat and sad too much of the time. It was reassuring somehow to lose myself in someone else's. And I was like, that is really sad. And it sounds like you are, like many teenagers and young adults in life, struggling through a bit of a depression. And no one seems to notice. And that just makes me really sad for her. I was like, oh, that's not okay. That's not a normal feeling to feel. You should talk to someone about that. So yeah, so that just makes me sad. But yeah, it kind of starts, it sounds like Peyton, it starts with him smoking pot, and then it kind of just snowballs from there. Shoplifting, breaking and entering, other more like hardcore drugs. I love, even in 2015 in Destin Land, that like pot is still like,
you're going to rehab.
And they were sent to rehab. And I was like, no one is sending their child to rehab for pot, unless, again,
they might be
rich people. Like, I think rich people are like, oh no. But your average family, this,
oh no,
this son, and I feel like kind of bad for judging him because like clearly he is struggling. So I feel bad for judging someone who's struggling, but I was like, the way that they are handling it is so like rich people handing their child struggling. You know what I mean? And so when I was reading this, I was like, oh, I know people, again, I am not a rich person. And I'm not like friendly with rich people, but I have acquaintances who are rich people. And this child sounds like someone that I know. And I was like, or know of, again, I don't like really know him. And I was just like, oh, that's like when so-and-so went through his issues. And it was like, you can, because you know that mommy and daddy are going to be there to bail you out of things. They have the money to, they have the money to get the best lawyers. They have the money to, you know, send you to rehab 5,000 times. Like the average family does not, like inevitably tough love comes in and they're just like, you are hurting and you are not okay. And until you're willing to accept help, we're going to have to cut you off because like, this isn't working. That's what the poor folk have to do. But the rich people, it's like, well, we send him to this and we send him to that.
Boarding school.
Yeah. Like the alternative schools and this and the other thing. Cause that's like what they, they can do because they can afford it. Which again is like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Cause I think all people that are struggling should be given the, you know, that sort of thing. But I was just like, oh yes, he doesn't even realize how privileged he is in that extent anyhow. So anywho, that's just my thoughts on, I don't know, the mental health system, I guess, in America. In case anyone asks. All people should be treated like rich people and get the same care. Thanks.
Okay. Yes.
Wouldn't that be nice? So, yes. They talk about the one time in the middle of the night when she wakes up and she sees that her dad is, like, headed out and her mom is, like, making coffee. And they're just like, oh, go upstairs. Like, I'll fill you in the morning. And this is also a thing that I, like, hate. Like, she is aware that something is going on. Like, I wouldn't be able to go back upstairs and go to sleep. Like, I would be anxiously sitting up all night being like, I'm like, just talk to your daughter. Like, I know that you all are stressed too, but like, I don't know. I think everyone would just feel better if we communicated. So that kind of annoyed me. They're just like, yeah, go back to bed. This is where she learns that this was like one of his biggest things before the big thing happened, which is that he climbs the fence around the villa, which is the biggest house in the arbors, and there was an unlocked window, so he goes through. He walks around for a little bit before the silent alarm is tripped, and then, of course, ends up getting arrested by the cops. He has some scrapes on his face, and so, of course, his rich white mother is like, police brutality! And it's, like, the dad's like, he was running away. And I was like, ma'am, your son is a white boy, okay? As a white man in America, you can go shoot up a school and they'll still find a way to arrest you without being harmed, okay? So, like, no.
Yep.
No. So, don't even with me here, Julie, calling the police brutality card. But, yeah, her – Cindy kind of says this. Like, her mom starts making excuses for him in a sense. Like, it's never him. It's, well, the school, well, the police, well, the this, well, the that. And it's like – no, I think he's struggling and I think he's having some issues and like that's, you know, on him, like he needs to work through those, not the school or whatever. So he does actually get put into jail. Like he does have to serve a little bit of jail time for that. And then he's on probation. They get this lawyer
Sora Ambrose, who seems like he's one of those like ambulance chaser guys, like his face is all over town.
Haven't we heard of him?
Sora Ambrose, maybe? You may have heard of him in Dreamland, actually.
I'm going to look it up. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to look it up really quick. Also, I want to mention that when he starts getting in trouble, they start falling into this routine where parents get mad, ground him. He follows their rules for a little bit until he doesn't. And it's just like a cycle. There's no like
cycle. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no like a solution happening. S-I-W-Y.
Yeah. They're like appeased for a little bit. And then he's like back on his not behaving ways.
Yeah. It's a tale as old as time.
Privileged white boy in some trouble. Da, 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 da. So, yes. Ambulance chaser Sora Ambrose, who may have been featured in other Destin novels. If y'all know, please let us know.
Cece?
You know, we gotta say that in a minute. Cece? Please let us know. Our data collecting queen. So, here we go. We finally get the explanation of who this Ames character is. And she says that it's her brother's new best friend, a guy he'd met in the Narcotics Anonymous group he was required to attend. Ames was a year older than Peyton, tall, with shaggy hair and a loping walk. Boys always be loping.
Boys
be loping in these Destin novels. And he'd gotten busted for dealing pot a year earlier. He'd served 6 months and stayed out of trouble ever since, setting the kind of example that her brother needed, at least her parents think. So her parents are like, I don't know, they seem kind of weirdly obsessed with him because I think they're like, look, he got in the straight and narrow, and maybe Peyton can too. So much to the point that apparently her mom like sets up that little pot outside, like a little ashtray for him, even though she like abhors smoking. She's like lets him do it at least outside because he can hang out with Peyton and be an absolute creep to their daughter, because we get a little bit more of the creeper behavior here. She says, I know Ames is a comfort to my mom, but something about him made me uneasy, like how I'd catch him watching me over the rim of his coffee cup, following my movements with his dark eyes, how he always found a way to touch me, squeezing my shoulder, brushing against my arm when he said hello. Ew. Wait, no, what a weirdo. So that's disturbing. And I don't like this guy one bit. Absolutely. Apparently, her brother said to look out for Sydney when he went to jail. And she's like, I'm not really sure like how to feel about that. I don't even know if I believe that he said that, but okay. So she's just like, oh, thanks, I guess, even though he makes her feel hella uncomfortable. She says that he ends up serving... He doesn't serve like his full sentence. He has to serve like 6 weeks or something. And then when he gets home, he's kind of quiet, but he'll watch like the big shows with her. And he kind of acts like he's annoyed by it. And she'll try to explain it to him and he doesn't care. But then when she tries to give him like the remote to watch something else, he's like, oh no, it's whatever. Like, I've got to go do things. And she says like, he just like can't sit still. It seems like he just like has to constantly be doing something, which... I guess it kind of makes sense. He's probably, like I said, struggling and isn't like really ready to accept help.
Also seems like he's on drugs, possibly.
Yeah, possibly. But good chance he is still currently on drugs at this time. Yes. He gets his diploma in June. They go to Luna Blue. Yeah, yeah. One of their favorite restaurants. And they enjoy some of their fried pickle appetizers. So glad to know the fried pickles are still going strong. I hope also the bread is back, though. Her mom gets them like a trip to Jacksonville to go check out like a hospitality course there, because apparently him and Ames are going to like local tech school to get into hospitality so they can work at a resort someday. Don't do it, but good luck to you. But like,
if you have an addiction problem, do not get into the hospitality industry.
Oh my god, which honestly, Sarah, like what a spot on.
I know
thing for them. I was like, yeah, that tracks. We've definitely known some. But I was like, that's not gonna be good for you, buddy. I was like, oh mom, I would not push this on him, actually. That's not gonna work out. So yeah, mom seems overall pretty happy because Peyton seems to be like kind of getting his shit together, even though it's like all a facade. Like we all know. We all know in our heart of we know. Mom doesn't know, but we all know that like he's doing the thing that he does. He's appeasing them. He's acting kind of like on better behavior for a little bit, and then it's just the cycle's going to continue, right? So, anywho, sure enough, here we go. She talks a little bit about her friends. I almost forgot the friends. that she, now that she's in like the upper class, as she calls her, upper school, sorry, at Perkins State, which is like basically the high school portion of the private school is what I'm assuming. She says that she's got a couple of friends. One of them is Meredith, who is like a gymnast, I guess. And her other friend, Jen, her parents had her later in life. And it's kind of one of those people who like skipped being a child, which is, again, is a definitely a running theme in a Dustin novel. But they seem nice. They seem like good people. It's like a cool, chill vibes, the two of them. And then, yeah, here we go. The thing that we started the book in chapter one, we finally get to, which is the day after Valentine's Day. Her brother leaves his job at his regular time a little after 10. Instead of coming home, he went to visit an old friend. He drank several beers, took a few shots, and ignored the repeated calls from my mother until his voicemail was full. At 2 a.m., he left his friend's apartment, got into his car, and headed home. At the same time, a 50-year-old boy named David Ibarra got onto his bike to ride the short distance back to his house from his cousin's, where he'd fallen asleep on the couch while playing video games. He was taking right from Dombey Street onto Pike Avenue when my brother hit him head on. Yeah. So, yeah, her brother, while under the influence, hits a kid on a bike, which is really terrible. Also very interesting that this happened after Sarah wrote something about that a little bit with the Gert family and the Moon and More. So I'm wondering if that's something that was like a storyline that kind of she like wrote in that and was like, actually, I would like to dive into that a little bit more. And maybe it was something that just kind of nagged at her until she ended up writing this. Could be completely wrong, but I just thought that that was kind of an interesting coincidence. I was like, oh, that's interesting. But obviously from a completely different point of view than what we got. We got the victim's point of view last time, and now we're getting, you know, the kind of family of the perpetrator, so to speak, I guess. Yeah. So yeah, that's sad on so many levels. Sydney wakes up because she hears her mom screaming. She says it was a primal, awful sound, one I had never heard before. And she says, for the first time I understood what it really meant to feel your blood run cold. She thinks that like her brother is dead because her mom is like so distraught. And her dad's trying to calm her down. She comes downstairs, and again, they kind of just like shoo her away, which I understand a lot is going on here, but still. And her dad says, there's been an accident. His voice sounded raw. Your brother hurt someone, which is, yeah. And she says, later I think back to these words and realize how telling they really were. Your brother hurt someone. It was like a metaphor with a literal meaning in so many others. David Ibarra was the victim here, but he was not the only one hurt, which that is powerful and very true. Yeah. And also why all of you should not drink and drive. Everyone, please. Thank you. Scary, scary stuff. And there's a reason they die after, and there's a reason it's law. So yeah, so her brother obviously is in some bad shape. And obviously this poor kid David is in bad shape. We don't really get to know exactly what happens to him by the end of this chapter. But obviously his life is forever changed. But if he's still alive, if he is still alive, it's a tragedy has occurred. So she tries to go to school. She doesn't tell any of her friends. Like, everything's just like obviously very difficult. She talks about going home later that day. Once again, she hears the garage door, but this time it opening doesn't make her feel better. She sees her dad. He looks really tired, obviously. She says that she's worried about mom, and he's like, I know, but, you know, she'll be okay. That night, you know, she basically just like eats mac and cheese by herself. It's like, I don't know. The whole thing is just sad. And then her dad sits down and she says, you know, he's not really the touchy-feely type, never had been. He was a shoulder clapper, a master of the quick three-back pat hug. It was my mom who was always pulling me into her lap, brushing a hand over my hair, squeezing me tight. But now, on the weirdest and scariest of days, my father wrapped his arms around me. I hugged him back, holding on for dear life, and we stayed like that for what felt like a long time. She talks about there's like so much, you know, ahead of us. And she's like, my brother would never be the same. I'd never have another day when I didn't think about David Ibarra at least once. My mom would fight on, but she had lost something. I'd never again be able to look at her and not see it missing. So many nevers. But in that moment, I just held my dad and squeezed my eyes shut, trying to make time stop again. It didn't.
Yeah, this is really heavy.
It's gonna be heavy.
Okay, a couple things I wanted to bring up.
Yes, please.
I want to bring up Jen. Jen always sounded like this, older than she was, mostly because her parents had her in their 40s and treated her like a little adult. She even looked like a grown-up with her sensible haircut, glasses, and comfortable footwear. I wrote in the margins, her 20s are going to be wild.
Accurate, though, yeah.
Ames has a loping walk, which you can see in your bottom third. Is that what it's called? Bottom third?
Yeah. Lower third, I believe.
Lower third.
But lower, bottom, we respect.
Yeah. Also, Ames, one of the reasons that Sydney feels like she's like gaslighting herself about Ames and his behavior is because he does have a girlfriend who he did bring over time.
Yes.
And she was like so painfully shy that if anyone talked to her, she just like got super nervous like a small dog. And she was always shaking. And like, this was me. This was literally me. I couldn't talk to anybody. Like,
clearly, like, not a healthy relationship going on there, you know?
Oh, yeah. Also, yeah, no. Yeah, my shyness was like, I'm neurodivergent. This is probably like, who knows?
Who knows? How old is she? I have a lot of questions about Marla, to be honest. I'm concerned for her. I'd like her to not be dating this guy. But I'd also like this guy nowhere near our poor girl, Sydney.
He deserves prison. When he says, no problem, it's the least I can do, I wrote die because that's how I feel. I think he should probably die. And that's all my thoughts. Those are all my thoughts. I'm like dying to keep reading, though.
I know, because I was like, this is so heavy, good. But so good. And like, I don't know. I'm very excited to, but nervous. I'm excited and nervous to see where this goes.
Yeah.
But we will be back with those next two chapters next week. Thursday, we'll be here for Chaos. We're doing DCOM this week, correct? Is that next week? Yes, this week?
This week.
Yeah. This is heavy, but this is good. I think this is going to be a good one, and I am excited to read more for sure. I think that's it. I'm going to go to sleep because I'm really tired, and I hope you all are resting well. Hydrating, it's key. Doing a fun activity. If you are anxious right now because they are anxious times, please do a fun activity. Turn your brain off. Take care of yourselves always, and we will chat with y'all real soon.
Bye.
Bye.